Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
Good morning, H-Town. Time to go to work.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Thursday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. Appreciate you hanging with us till 10 a.m. We got a lot to get
baby.
To. Yep. What's going on?
A lot. Yeah. It's feeling like it's Deshaun week all of a sudden.
You're feeling it. I got a text from you at like 3:30 in the morning. Like, I'm feeling the Deshaun thing now.
I am. You know what I realized? It's because you sent me that map that Greg Rajan had shared.
Yeah.
Of the coverage of this Texans-Browns game and where it will be aired. And look, the Texans are one of the,
No, they're
probably
the worst
team in the NFL.
They're the worst team in football. Don't sugarcoat it.
I'm trying to be polite, Sean. There's children listening.
I got no time.
So
like we're cursing.
It's like telling some kid that their dad's a bum. I don't want them to hear
right,
it. You know?
Right,
they need to hear it from their dad or their mom, most likely.
He just doesn't smell very good. He's not very well dressed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't
so
have a home.
This coverage map is very, very small. And you would say, well, yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. Well, it's a little bit different because the Browns, even though they're not a good team right now, the Browns have a pretty big fan base and draw, you know, respectable TV numbers even when they're bad. And obviously, they have a multiple-time Pro Bowler coming back into as their quarterback. It should be a bigger deal if it weren't for this annoying little detail of a couple of dozen sexual assault cases and an 11-game NFL suspension.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, Sean, late at night as I was going to bed and then at 3 o'clock this morning when I woke up and couldn't stop thinking about it, I think a lot of my own personal kind of – I've been kind of lukewarm about this whole experience coming in. It's because, like, ESPN and NFL Network and Roger Goodell himself, none of them really want to touch this. You know, they just don't. But that I look on Twitter – and it's Deshaun Watson trending every hour of every day. You put out anything like on a podcast form or on YouTube, and Deshaun Watson stuff just blows up. So people are interested and intrigued in it. And I find myself more, like honestly, more on the football side of things now because this is an experiment that I always wanted to try. It was Deshaun Watson in a Kubiak-style offense. And that alone versus a really bad defense with the Texans might end up being a pretty interesting football weekend.
The NFL doesn't need to be interested in this. You know what I mean?
Right,
like
right.
a lot of other forums, a lot of other sports, a lot of other entertainment outlets. If there was something salacious like this, quarterback sued by 24 women returns to the stadium where he played every game of his pro career at, where the fans are going to be booing him which I'm not even sure. I don't know what that's going to look like at all. The NFL is doing fine without having to lean into the soap opera of Deshaun Watson coming back to Houston. The coverage map that Seth is talking about is for the telecast on Sunday. It's a map of the United States that's color-coded to show which games on CBS in the early window are going to be broadcast where. And there's a red, a blue, a green, and a yellow game. The Texans are the yellow game. And the only yellow on the map is in the greater Cleveland area, the greater Houston area kind of down into Corpus, and then a little yellow patch up in Lubbock or like West Amarillo, like West Texas.
It's up there, man.
Yeah, it's random.
I think it might actually be Colorado. I'm not positive.
It's very rare. There's a random yellow dot up in the up where that, tumbleweeds roll.
That used to be wherever Brock was from in Idaho or wherever it was.
Yes,
remember
Pocatello
on the radio coverage
something.
Map, we'd
yes,
see that.
Yeah. Yes. So it's a little chunk of Texas. The Gulf Coast, and then up in Cleveland. For comparison's sake, The Jets in Minnesota are going to practically the whole country. The West Coast, the Midwest, Florida, the Northeast. The Broncos and the Ravens are going to the entire heartland and then the whole like Virginia, Maryland, West Virginia area up there. And then Pittsburgh and Atlanta is going to the entire southeast part of the country and the entire kind of western Pennsylvania through part of Ohio and West Virginia. So anyways, I say all that to say this kind of dispels the notion that the league handed down an 11-game suspension to Deshaun so that his first game back would be in Houston. Like that somehow, I know people roll their eyes like, boy, what a coincidence. His first game back is going to be in Houston. The only part where I would say that there's some sort of contrived nature of the 11-game suspension would be that the league is going to feel like this is going to be part of his punishment. Part of his punishment is going to be he's going to play his first game somewhere where he's going to get booed vociferously. The problem with that little notion, Seth, is that the Texans the last two or three weeks have sucked the life out of everybody.
Yeah. So I was, traipsing around on the internet as I couldn't stop thinking about all of this last night. And I came across this show. It's a YouTube show and podcast up in Cleveland called The Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. And I like these guys.
I like the name.
Well, I mean, they are the ultimate. I had to click on it. I was like, they're the ultimate one. There was another, like, really good one. But I was like, they're not the ultimate.
We need to add that.
Some dumbass called himself the penultimate Cleveland sports show. And I was like, no. I'm going to the ultimate,
hell
my
yeah,
friend.
Yeah, you are.
Sorry. So it's this guy. And I also, it's like a panel of dudes that look just like normal dudes. There's one slick-looking guy who's Jay Crawford. He's a former ESPN sports
cold pizza
guy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of in a cold pizza format, except it looks like a bunch of, it almost looks like that old SNL skit with the Bears fans.
Yeah.
Except this is the, but I was surprised because a few of these guys are actually ex-pros. I was surprised because they were so good as media members on this show. I was like, oh, these guys actually, they actually have good opinions and they're interesting to listen to. They're not just wearing their gold jacket up there asking you to massage them. So this is where Jay Crawford leads in, and this is his perception of what it's like going to be like in Houston.
I want to ask you guys about something Tim said. Tim said he thinks it's the perfect scenario for Deshaun Watson because he's playing a team in the Houston Texans that's got one victory on the season.
Yeah.
On one hand, yes, you want them to go against a team that talent-wise you feel you should be able to handle. But we can't not talk about the other part of
this. That's going to be a tough atmosphere.
So Deshaun, wherever he goes, is going to get the Michael Vick treatment.
Yes.
But it'll be nothing like what he gets in Houston because, remember, he tapped out there. He told the team, I don't want to be here with you guys. Right. So the players have that fuel.
Yeah.
And the fans also. Imagine if we had Deshaun Watson here. And next season, he tells us, I can't win here. I'm leaving. Right. So, but how angry we would be.
So let me tell you.
Hey, Ben, did you notice that I faded that out at the end?
Yes, I did. Nice work. Yes. That was good. Good job by you.
I've been so proud of myself for sending Ben audio. And for a year, he's been suggesting, if you fade it out at the end, it actually helps a little bit. So I finally learned how to do that.
Take your victory lap, Payne.
And I know it wasn't perfect, but three things about that real quick.
Yeah.
One, yes, he tapped out. That is true, except that as you pointed out yesterday, there are a total of, I believe, 8 players on the team who have actually played with Deshaun Watson.
Who suited up with Deshaun in an NFL game, yes.
So there's like the number of hurt feelings probably isn't all that great, and a few of those 8 are probably still friends with Deshaun, so I don't think that's necessarily true. As far as the fan reaction, I was trying to be honest with myself about this, Sean. Yes, there will be people that are pretty aggressively booing and insulting Deshaun Watson. But look, it's not like a lot of Texans fans are going to come out to this game specifically to do that, I don't think. But I wonder if this will be the first time. So maybe it's a little bit unsettling for Deshaun. But we're this fan base that for the last 2 years has listened to the Astros be booed aggressively by sold-out stadiums. You know, and Jose Altuve has been singled out unjustifiably by entire stadiums full of really angry Northeasterners. And that's where I don't think it's going to be nearly anything close to that. And I think it's going to be easier for Deshaun to compartmentalize than if he were walking into a team that was really good and competitive right now.
Yeah, Deshaun's biggest issue is going to be he hasn't played football in 2 years. It's not going to be the crowd, in my opinion. But boo your brains out. I would encourage you to make the atmosphere a little more saucy for sure. All right, if you're looking for more football conversation, check out The Crew, Odyssey's newest football podcast with Josina Anderson, former cornerback Fred Smoot, actor Morris Chestnut. Each week, players and celebrities join The Crew to give you a peek behind the curtain, headlines across the NFL. Follow The Crew in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. New odds out. Next head coach in the NFL fired is Lovie Smith moving up the board. We will have the latest from Vegas for you next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast on a Thursday. Seth and I are going to converse for the next 4 hours or so.
Sean and I were just talking about how I don't like talking to anybody except Sean.
We got to come back from break, though, Seth, so you can talk to me.
Got a very small I get all my talking done between my wife and my job. That's all
I need. You have a tight circle of talk, that is for sure.
Yeah. I would talk to Ben more if he – I don't think Ben likes me.
I don't think he likes me either. That's what's wild, yeah. I think he likes everybody else.
I like you both fine.
Oh, you do? Are you sure? Are you sure?
Yesterday I sent Ben an edited piece of audio that I wanted him to shoehorn in between 18 other pieces of audio. And then right before the show, I was like, hey, Ben, never mind. That was the wrong stuff.
All that work you just did, Ben, wasted time.
Sorry.
So odds on the next NFL head coach to be fired. The favorite on the board is Nathaniel Hackett, far and away.
I got to dig into that. That's got to be my next dig into.
Denver?
Yes, just the misery that must have befallen that otherwise fair city.
Minus 500 for Nathaniel Hackett. Real quick, I want to circle back to Denver.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
But I'm glad you brought this up. Cliff Kingsbury, Lovie Smith are tied for second at 5-1. So Nathaniel Hackett's odds, just to put it in plain English, the odds for Nathaniel Hackett indicate he might get fired on the way to work today. Like, that's how prohibitive a favorite he is in Denver right now. That is a disaster.
It's high. It's hard to get a seat that hot in the mile high altitude of early December.
That is an inferno.
I think that, as far as Lovie Smith goes, look, this is a franchise who doesn't get around to hiring a head coach until about May or June, typically. So I don't think there's necessarily a huge hurry to hire. Now, I'm acting like there's any kind of trend that you can deduce or anything.
They were the last one to hire their coaches these last two cycles.
Right, right. Oh, no, it was super, super late. Yeah. I was exaggerating, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But which was odd because they were the first to fire Bill O'Brien, were they not?
They were. They won the lottery that year, yes.
Bill O'Brien was the first gone, and did they learn any lessons from that? Because maybe if Deshaun hadn't spent all that time basically on a rudderless ship. Because whatever you thought of Bill O'Brien, at least he was some form of a rudder. He was a craggly, angry, barnacle-covered rudder, but he was a rudder. And you just got the sense that year that things were kind of circling the drain by the time Deshaun requested his trade.
That's an interesting observation. If they had waited till the end of the – if they had let O'Brien ride it out for the rest of the year after 0-4, the problem was he was the GM too. God, if he had just stayed the coach, he might still be the coach here if he had just not seized all the power.
Well, if they hadn't gotten – they wanted to make that grab for Caserio when they did.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a whole, I think, honestly, like, I honestly hope that Bill O'Brien in the last couple of years has done some kind of self-reflection. I don't know, like, it doesn't have to be going to see a psychiatrist, although that could help everybody, but just going to talk to a career coach or something, because he's got some major blind spots that I think hold him back from being what I think could actually be a really good head coach. He just... I think he can't let some things go. And it's hard when you're a head coach working with a GM, and when a GM makes decisions that you don't agree with and they don't work out, it's really hard to let that go. But ultimately, yeah, O'Brien needs to have a GM in his life if he's ever going to be an NFL head coach.
Yeah, an NFL head coach, absolutely. I agree with you on that. Hey, back to Nathaniel Hackett real quick. Did you see the story yesterday? Mike Kliss in Denver said that about half of Russell Wilson's teammates showed up for his birthday party this week. Did you see that?
Oh,
yeah.
No, I don't know. Is that a? I don't know though. Is that a good turnout? Well, he's only got Sean. His house only has 3 bedrooms. Let's remember.
That's true. I don't know if the party was at his house or not. If it was at a local establishment, and I don't even know. Like Mike Kliss, it sounded like was just making some random observation because it must have been out in public because Mike Kliss made an observation. Like it looked like about half his teammates were there, and everybody ran with that like it was a Bo Callahan from Draft Day thing. Like, remember that where Bo Callahan slipped in the draft in that Costner movie because nobody showed up at his birthday party?
I mean, that's a tough one, especially if you're are you including practice squad like the Texans like to do when they talk about their number? So is it half of 70, which is 35? That's not bad. I feel like whichever way that's reported is going to be interesting. You could say, hey, you know, dozens of players showed up for Russell Wilson's birthday party. Oh, not bad.
It's Russell Wilson. I'll let you decide how it probably got reported.
As we were discussing during the break about my antisocial manners, I didn't attend many of my teammates' Christmas parties, and it was never because I didn't like them. So it's a holiday season.
Because you didn't like people in general, not that specific person.
Yeah, that's how I RSVP for things. yes, no. I don't like people.
Right?
I do like people. I don't like them in groups.
Right. No, you do. You definitely. You're a people.
It's where all
person.
The shootings occur.
That's
and stay the hell away from weddings.
Absolutely.
These damn kids are going to start drone striking us.
The other big story out of Cleveland yesterday with Deshaun was that he did not do the normally scheduled Wednesday media session. We had been teasing it on our show yesterday that, hey, Deshaun's supposed to meet with the media today. That had been a headline on SportsCenter throughout the morning. Watson expected to meet with media, and he didn't. I won't say it was canceled because it's not like the Cleveland media relations people said Watson was going to meet with the media. It's just that since Kevin Stefanski got there, Wednesday has always been quarterback day. You know, Baker always met with the media on Wednesdays. Jacoby Brissett was a Wednesday thing. So people just assumed, he like even here, you know, Wednesday is quarterback day for Davis Mills or I guess now Kyle Allen. That was a big deal yesterday afternoon, the feeling being, okay, you're kicking the can down the road. In fact, Seth, I texted one of the folks that works for the our sister station up there, 92.3 The Fan, say, hey, keep us up to speed when you hear something about the Browns on when Deshaun's going to be meeting with the media. And he says that they think it's probably going to be Friday because then it'll get less coverage and smoke, you know, the classic Friday news dump.
That it was I figured it was going to be a news dump type of press conference, and you know, for those of us who have been withholding podcasts and or YouTube episodes to wait until we could add some Deshaun Watson footage, it's very selfish of him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to say it's not going to be well received. Like this news conference is not going to be well received. There's almost nothing he's going to be able to say that is going to satisfy, you know, people who are going to that have understandable criticisms of Deshaun.
The first question is going to be, why didn't you meet with us on Wednesday? Like, that's literally going to be the first question.
You know, I listened to Stefanski's press conference yesterday.
Yep.
And I got the sense that I got the sense that the Cleveland media has asked all the questions they feel like they can ask in every different angle and way. In that article in The Athletic that informed us about Tony Busby coming to the game this weekend, she said that she had asked some players in a media scrum there, and the other writers and TV people were like, yeah, good luck. We've been asking those same questions. You're not going to get anything, because she was talking about how frustrating it was. So I think that when it comes to asking other players and Kevin Stefanski specific questions, they're just not even asking him anymore. Yeah. This will be with Deshaun. It's going to be a different deal. He hasn't had to face these questions yet.
Yep. Join the drive with Sterner and Hughley at the Stadium Bar in Spring for a Miller Lite Football Friday. That'll be tomorrow, 2 to 6. Go hang out with the guys. Have some great food, cold drinks. If you're up on the north side, great place to go hang. Get ready for Deshaun Watson's return to Houston this Sunday on a Miller Lite Football Friday. Hey, speaking of Stefanski, Kevin Stefanski, the coach of the Browns, I think every coach does this. When they get to their Wednesday press conference, this is the first real look ahead at their opponent for the week. So they give kind of a soliloquy at the beginning of the press conference, you know, 60 to 90 seconds on what they've seen on film so far. Let's go through Kevin Stefanski's scouting report on the Texans. Ben, have the ding and the buzz ready for this. True or false on Kevin Stefanski's Texans scouting report? That is next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so Kevin Stefanski is the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He met with the media yesterday. Before he answered any questions, he gave his rundown of the Houston Texans. Let's go through and see just how closely, either how closely we think Kevin Stefanski's been watching the Texans, or just how much he is sugarcoating the scouting report that he has on the Texans. Ben, have the ding and the buzz ready, and we'll just kind of go through this. And as we hear things, I don't know, this is about what, 60 to 90 seconds, Ben? How long is this bit of audio here? 70 seconds. Okay, so a minute and change of scouting on the Houston Texans. The 1-9-1 Houston Texans through the eyes of Cleveland Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski.
Okay, excited for the challenge this week going on the road against the Texans. We're looking forward to having a great week of practice, getting down there. You know, you watch them on tape, a lot of things jump out. Number 31, their running back, I think is outstanding. He is
oh, yeah, 31,
a
yes.
load to bring down. You see him running away from people, breaking tackles. He has speed out there. I think they have multiple receivers that are big play receivers, a tight end that's making plays for them in the pass game, big, big offensive tackles. So a unique challenge with our defense on the field. But in particular, I think their running back is outstanding. Defensively, you know, it's a Lovie Smith-led defense, so that presents all sorts of different challenges. Obviously, cover two starts to show up, which you don't see a ton of week in and week out, so you got to be really, really precise in what you're doing. And then pressure, man pressure. On first and second down, they're doing a really nice job of being an aggressive front line movement. So really a focal point for us in defending that scheme. And then special teams, they have a really, really good special teams unit. A bunch of guys that we know, they are outstanding, playing relentless on that side of the ball. So looking forward to going down there and looking forward to the challenge.
All right, so I think his assessment of Dameon Pierce is spot on. Dameon Pierce is a demigod. His assessment of special teams, I think, spot on. I'm still looking to find these playmakers. I looked forever yesterday trying to find those playmakers at receiver that he's talking about. Nico, you are our only hope right now.
The one thing I noticed immediately was that after Dameon Pierce, did he mention a single player's name?
No.
He didn't. No. So he's talking about these big play receivers.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, which ones, coach? I wish one of the Cleveland media members had been like, which one specifically is the big play guy this year, coach? What do you have? I can see that you've done what most of the analysts do, which is take whatever your brain's notion of a Lovie Smith defense is and just throw it out there.
Yes.
I feel like he's on to whoever their next opponent is already.
Yes.
Which might be that might be one benefit. Because they don't play the Texans play a lot of zone and a lot of cover two, but it's actually not a lot more than much of the league. There are other teams that play more than the Texans do. So I feel like he's done a little bit of what I see analysts do. Guys that were coaches like 10 years ago still have the exact same notion of whatever the guy was when they played against them.
It's a Lovie Smith coach defense, so you know that presents some challenges.
Yeah.
Really? Did you watch the first half of the Miami game? Tua didn't look too challenged in that game.
He was correct. Did he say there, or was it in a later clip where he talked about how they will bring pressure?
Yes,
you know, they'll blitz, and I always feel like Lovie's kind of dipping his toe in the water with the blitz, and he's going to wait until he gets burned once, and then they might pull back a little bit. Deshaun's eagerness or aggressiveness, I think, will be the thing that either makes it really rough for the Texans or maybe gives them some opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, I think if Deshaun is pressing because of, you know, obviously the circumstances in Houston and also him coming back and needing to justify his $250 million guaranteed contract and all that, there's a lot of reasons he might press and try to squeeze some plays into windows that he shouldn't. But other than that, it's just the Texans defense. I've heard, you know, Lovie Smith and others try to sugarcoat that game last week. Tua Tagovailoa had 300 yards when he was removed in the second series of the third quarter. It was not a good second half. It was a good second half versus a JV quarterback. They let up a game's worth of yardage, passing yardage, in 2.5 quarters of football. So that was Tua Tagovailoa, but who's been playing very well and who has studs. I think Deshaun Watson with Njoku, I think, is the really interesting one to me. Just exactly what he does with an actual tight end, not a Jordan Akins or a Pharaoh Brown or one of these guys.
Speaking of tight ends, Stefanski referred to, they have a tight end who's making plays. That's got to be Jordan Akins that he's seen, right?
Yeah.
There's no other tight end that's made plays for this team.
Who they've seen before, too. I was watching the Browns game from 2020 and Jordan Akins
was
making plays. Yeah.
Was that the one? That was the one that had the weather delay, right? That was in Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah.
COVID year. Yeah.
And I'm watching on the TV copy. They don't let you see the all 22 when you go back that far. But the one thing that I noticed, Sean, I don't want to get too technical here. Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback than Kyle Allen.
Wow.
Is that two X's and O's ish for Drive Time Radio? I don't want to.
Yeah, I don't.
That sounds like something you're gonna need to dig deeper on that one, and I'm afraid it might turn off the audience. But go for it. Support your hypothesis.
Do you know you do that thing where you look at the head coach, a picture of the head coach, and a picture of the quarterback of each team before you lay your bet, just to be sure.
Yep.
And I like Kyle Allen's boyish demeanor. He's got kind of like that David Anderson Sum 41 vibe to him. I like it. He's like a more clean cut young dude. So, but I still think Deshaun, for however you think of him and his trying to figure out where exactly he's looking in the room, look about him. He's the guy. He's better than Kyle Allen. I'm going to tell
that
you
is
right
a
now.
Good. I'd say it's a say. Even without 2 years, well. They've both played about the same amount of football over the last 2 years.
Yeah. I think now Kevin Stefanski is probably the one who, you know, he's not all that popular in Cleveland. And a lot of that's basically due to the bipolar type of Baker Mayfield play, where Baker Mayfield at times looked like, man, this guy might really have it. And then at other times he just looked awful. They're going to be able to do a lot more with Deshaun Watson than Jacoby Brissett or Baker Mayfield. And a lot of that has to come down to the stuff that I was watching that I really missed was some of the RPO stuff that they can do with Deshaun. Then obviously Deshaun's scrambling ability. I think they might add and build on some of the things that Bill O'Brien did and maybe do it better because I think that putting the Kubiak elements to what Deshaun could do as well as the RPOs, I think that's going to be a better version than what Bill O'Brien was doing with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, there were two big trades this offseason involving quarterbacks. One was Russell Wilson, the other was Deshaun Watson. The Russell Wilson one is failing right now because of Russell Wilson. It's failing because he started to look a little janky at the end of his Seahawks run there. The hope was that new environment with better weapons, although he had pretty good weapons in Seattle, but the hope was new environment, change of scenery, that there's still some of that Super Bowl caliber Russ in there, putting aside all his personality quirks that rub people the wrong way. That has failed largely because of Russell Wilson, maybe with a little Nathaniel Hackett mixed in. If the Deshaun Watson trade fails in Cleveland, it won't be because of Deshaun Watson, I don't think. My hope is that he's not so stupid that he would continue to do things off the field that he was doing here. My hope is he's got that part of his life squared away. So now you focus on the football part, and Deshaun's 26, 27, whatever he is. He's in his prime, unlike Russ. I think he's really good at compartmentalizing things. I think if the Deshaun Watson trade fails, and failure for it will be that they don't become a perennial playoff contender and get to a Super Bowl or two, I think it'll be because of some things that similarly went on around Deshaun here at the end of his time in Houston, where the roster fell apart because there were a lot of bad decisions made by the front office. I think Deshaun's going to be a great player in Cleveland.
The thing that I wonder with Deshaun, what might happen, and Jacoby Brissett is very popular with the team. You know, from what I understand, what I heard about him, anybody say about him in previous days, the hell of a guy, and people really like him. For a defense that seems to be underperforming based on expectations and just paper depth and ability, that maybe Deshaun and having that kind of a quarterback will be some kind of a spark for them. And also just sometimes, you know, being a more prolific offense. They've been a very efficient offense, but not necessarily a high-scoring offense or anything. If they can get out to some leads on teams and then take advantage of not just Myles Garrett but some of the other pass rushers where they can get just pin their ears back and go, they might end up being a much more complete football team than they are right now. So it's very possible that they go on a run with Deshaun. The more Deshaun Watson I watched last night, and it wasn't just highlights I was watching. And then I went, gosh, Sean. And then I started thinking about the Kubiak offense. So I went back to watch the 2010 Texans and watched Monday Night Football versus the Colts. And then watched Peyton Manning some. And I got starting. I was taking a trip through memory lane and watching some of the great players like Arian Foster.
Yes.
And even an Antonio Smith or somebody like that.
Yep.
And I started to get really, really depressed.
Yes.
About the departure of some of the genuinely awesome football players that they've had. And then by Antonio Smith, you know, not obviously not a Hall of Fame or anything, but just the awesome kind of guy to have on a defensive
Absolutely.
Line.
Absolutely. Yeah. So just to put that into context, Seth watched a game last night of the 2010 Houston Texans, a team that went 6-10, and was like, God, I long for those days.
Dude, okay, so I'm watching. It was a stroll through memory lane, and I was going to bring it on the air, but it's not good without the visual. But one of the best two-minute sequences I've ever seen in football, I just happened upon, because you come back from break, and it's John Gruden saying something to Mike Tirico. Then they throw to the update. The update is, it looks like Brad Childress is all set to cut Randy Moss in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah!
And the other was that Mike Shanahan, after saying yesterday that Donovan McNabb didn't know the terminology to run the two-minute offense in Washington, today said that he just wasn't in shape enough, that it was his conditioning. That was the update.
Wow.
I don't even remember that. That's 6 years after he was supposedly puking,
dude,
in the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Retro-watching is fun.
Next play, Matt Schaub takes, like, the hardest hit on a linebacker who comes clean up the gut because young Arian Foster, hadn't picked up a blitz. And just this guy, I don't know how Matt Schaub was still alive after it. It was an incredible hit. The Texans come in. They're about to kick a 53-yard field goal with, what's his name, the kicker in 2010.
Was it Neil Rackers?
It was
year?
Rackers.
Yeah.
It was Rackers. And
God, I hate myself that I remember that, but continue.
The Colts don't have – they have their punt return team on.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, they thought that the Kubiak wouldn't have the gonads to kick a 53-yard field goal. So they come out, and at that point, the Texans were down enough that it was go time. Peyton Manning's on the other side. The Texans are down by two touchdowns. You got to do something. So Rackers kicks a field goal after the Colts call a timeout and get their field goal block unit on. Rackers kicks a field goal that Tirico thinks is no good. It's signaled good. They go to the replay, and this ball bounces off of, like, the upright 6 inches above the crossbar,
yeah.
Hits the crossbar, and then goes in.
A double that doinker that went in.
Yes, and that was the best Texans football I've watched in 2 years.
The lesson in that story, don't ever underrate Gary Kubiak's gonads, okay?
Yeah.
Don't ever.
Becker's career high at that point had been 54, so it was a gonadish move, I think.
That game was in Indianapolis, if I remember correctly.
Yes, yes.
I was at that game.
Oh, really?
I was on vacation.
I saw you in the crowd.
I was in the press box. I was at, yeah. So I was on vacation. So I went on vacation. This is back before I worked here. So I would vacation. I'd go up and visit my dad and my family in October, and I was driving up there, so I stopped in Indy, went to the game on Monday night, and the thing I remember about that game, I was sitting next to Mark Berman. This is in 2010. I was sitting next to Mark Berman in the press box, and I'm like, Mark, you need to get on this Twitter thing. You know, you
really?
Break, yes, yes, yes. I take credit for Mark Berman getting on Twitter. I said, Mark, because think about it, it's 2010. I had probably just gotten on Twitter like a year and a half before that, like early 2009. Yeah. And I said, Mark, you break so much news. If you were on Twitter, dude, you would be a machine. No. I just need to get people over to the website.
The website.
The website.
That's what he said. You got a URL. Good for you, champ.
2010. And I said, well, Mark, here's the thing. You can put links in these tweets that'll get them to the website, too. And he's like,
well,
and he resisted.
Yeah.
Eventually, I got him on Twitter. Go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, well, no. If he had asked the right follow-up questions, it would have been, will people actually click on the links? And will I actually make money off of this thing that I'll spend hours a day on? Like, no on both of them. It's going to ruin your work life.
No, but I would say someone like Mark, maybe it's not direct monetization where he's getting a check for what he does on Twitter, but someone like him, similar to Schefter.
Schefter,
makes him a more valuable commodity at his employer.
No, for sure, sure. It's over time. It definitely it makes you the guy.
Yeah. Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, did an interview with Quincy Avery talking about what they did, Deshaun Watson's quarterback coach, what he and Deshaun did during the 11-game suspension. During the suspension, they met 4 days a week. So Quincy did a lot of flying from Atlanta up to Cleveland. Quincy lives in Atlanta. And they had Deshaun throwing to 4 to 5 different college receivers during workouts. Is it weird that they were not at liberty to say who the receivers were that they that Deshaun was throwing to? She never said why. And I was wondering, I'm like, okay, is it an NCAA violation that they were working out with Deshaun? Or,
no, that shouldn't be. Oh,
I don't think it should be. Or do these guys not want their name out there getting into the Google machine with Deshaun Watson articles?
That might be. Yeah, there might be some element to that.
Yeah.
Or Deshaun doesn't want it. Maybe Deshaun's trying to keep a low profile if those schools find out. Yeah, so it might be all of that.
Yeah.
All of the above on that one. I don't know. You know, because Quincy doesn't shy away from saying, I don't want to say controversial, divisive things on Twitter, I guess. For a guy that works with athletes, he will still put his opinion out there. But I think with Deshaun, you've seen from the very early days till now how everybody in Deshaun's camp or anybody that knows Deshaun has kind of softly backpedaled, you know, and just and tried to stay out of things. And probably I'm guessing Deshaun himself is pushing that strategy to some degree.
Yeah.
We haven't checked on his Instagram or Twitter in a long time.
I would love to check on Quincy's Twitter. He blocked me.
No. I mean on Deshaun's.
Oh, he hasn't blocked me. I checked to see if he's blocked me.
And I apologize. Somebody says, thanks for the spoiler alert, Seth. I was going to watch that 2010 game this
They lost. that was when it started really sliding into the toilet for that team.
Oh, somebody said this is bad radio. What in the hell is Seth talking about? Talking about the 2010 Colts versus Texans Monday Night Football game. Oh, yeah. How do you not care deeply about that?
This is
that?
The radio we do every day, and it seems to have been successful so far. Quincy Avery blocked me. That's the second person this week that's been newsworthy that's blocked. Am I a bad person, Seth? I've been blocked by Odell Beckham Jr., Quincy Avery, Jay Glazer.
I do think the level of – I think sometimes you reach a certain level when you're on Twitter – Sean, and if you're in sports media where you do forget how acerbic the environment is.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to Jason Bristol about Jason Bristol, who works at KHOU, sports anchor at KHOU.
Least acerbic person I've ever met in my life.
Very nice guy, but he's in the sports environment. Yeah. And we were talking about the weatherman who had broken in on the Thanksgiving Day game, the Bills Lions.
Yeah, I
remember. The last 2 minutes. I don't even want to say his name because I don't want people going to seek him out. But those good souls over there, the meteorologists, they do not live in the same social media universe that the sports fan does.
Not even close.
And that poor guy just got just relentlessly attacked. And it was apparently it was kind of a shock to the system for him.
So glad it wasn't Cheetah. You know, Cheetah's a good friend, and I was texting her while it's going on. I'm like, your coworker is getting destroyed right now. I am so glad you're on a plane to go see your parents for Thanksgiving. You don't have to be subject. I would have been really conflicted, Cheetah, if this was you. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. We'll talk to. Are we talking to Ravel later in the show? We got Ravel in the 9 o'clock hour. Okay, cool. All right, so Jeff Bagwell. Jeff Bagwell appears to have the owner's ear with the Astros. This is going to be an uncomfortable segment for some of you. What is the worst case scenario with Jeff Bagwell's involvement with the Astros going forward? I have 4 ways he might have something in common with the most reviled front office person in the history of this city. That is next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.